Let's go. Welcome to the Cooligans.
We back home, baby.
We back home. You know, temporary. We got kicked out.
That's right. We went from the West Elm to the garage. Okay. To the garage, if you will.
They said, Yahoo said, go back to the basement to do your show.
Yo, you guys keep leaving barbecue sauce stains on everything. Get up out of here.
It got to a point where there was just too much barbecue sauce.
It's really not my fault. Christian was just swinging it around.
They're throwing the wings around.
Yeah, this is how we celebrate.
We have a wing fight.
Yeah. I catch them all in my mouth.
Welcome to the Cooligans Daily Live. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
That's right. We still at Yahoo. Okay. Okay, slow it down.
Damn.
The button's too close now.
I like this, bro.
World Cup still going on, alive and well. We're waking up early. We're staying up late.
Can we give a shout out to Smirnoff Ice, though? What a great sponsor they've been.
They've been looking out for us throughout this World Cup. They've been looking out for you as well.
That's right.
So appreciate it. Because you're wearing the jersey,
I'm
the custom kit.
It's beautiful, is it not?
Yes.
We said, please, just don't write the word ice on the shirt. Whatever you do. I can't be walking around town with that.
but you know what? They listened to our request.
They were like, you know what? You bring up a good point. And it's not like we haven't had focus groups about it. So, Smirnoff Yellow, baby.
We appreciate it.
Well, you got it in glass form. By the way, the logo that I'm wearing is the one that you see on the tippity top, which is really cool. It's like a nice classic logo.
Go. All right.
In fact, why don't we celebrate?
Hey, let's celebrate. We're 2 weeks into the World Cup.
Can you know what? If people are watching games during the day and they're having a little bit of a little fun, Bev?
I know the Scottish are day drinking.
Oh, buddy. They're drinking out there.
There we go. And I got the zero sugar one, and it's
delicious. I stayed away from that one. I got the red white. Red, white, and berry, and it is delectable, dude.
Okay. So.
If I didn't like it, I'd say, like, that was good. This is incredible.
you would use words with more syllables
I'd be
to
like,
convey.
No, delectable means I like it.
I know that. I'm just saying. Yeah.
It's actually damn good, bro.
Okay. All right. So that's why it's what is it time for, Alexis?
Oh, it is time for our six-pack of reactions presented by Smirnoff Ice, the official ice cold beverage that should absolutely, especially this flavor right here, should absolutely be in your fridge for every match this summer. Smirnoff Ice, too crisp to resist.
Let's go. All right. So
speaking of too crisp to resist, I'm going to take another sip. Well, you tell me your first hot take. Well, your first a reaction.
Okay, so the first one I'm going to go with, especially since we're going into these third round of group stage games, I'm going to say that Cabo Verde will move on to the knockout round. They have a game against Saudi Arabia coming up. Saudi Arabia has not looked super sharp in this World Cup. Cabo Verde has the hype. All the fans are incredibly supportive. The storyline, the Vozinha, the goalkeeper, everything, I think is perfectly put in place to have a team like Cabo Verde to move on into the knockout round. Whether it's not they're on 2 points. It's not impossible for them to get second place, but I think it's a third place team. But this game against Saudi Arabia is going to be so important, and I think Cabo Verde is going to be able to do it. So
I think if that were to happen, I think it would be vindication for the idea of an expanded World Cup.
100%.
So I'm excited about that because there was a lot of talk about how this isn't good, and I said let's give these small countries a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Also, let's let some of them play America so we could stack up on goals. You know what I mean? Which, by the way, brings me to my first reaction, which is Canada will absolutely not beat Switzerland. Now, I chose those words on purpose because I'm looking at Canada as one of the hosts. You want to move on with confidence. Mexico is moving on with confidence. U.S. is qualifying to the knockout rounds with confidence. Canada will. But will they do it with confidence? And I don't think so. They got a 1-1 draw against Bosnia where they let a late equalizer in. Yes.
No, they got the late equalizer.
Yeah. My apologies. But the game against Qatar. Yes, there was a red card. There was a horrific incident as well. Massive scoreline. But if you look at this, yes, you're at plus 6. You wouldn't necessarily say every match is going to be this way. You're not going to get a red card and be able to. You want to absolutely take someone apart from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have one match where you get it all together, and they haven't had that. And I don't think they're going to be able to do that against Switzerland. A draw sends them both through, so I have a feeling neither team is going to be, really breaking out of defensive positions. And I think that is going to make their first real test the round of 32, which is a dangerous position to be in. You want to get some of the kinks out of the system early. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we've seen that yet. The Qatar game was too easy. The Bosnia game was a great game to bring yourself together, but you didn't win that. So for me, I don't think this match is going to test you. And I think Canada, unfortunately, is probably going to get to the round of 32. And that's when they're going to face their first serious, serious competition. And I don't think they're going to have all of their ideas of what to do in those moments. They're not going to have the experience that I think the U.S. is built by dealing with and suffering through some of what they suffered in the Australia game.
Sure. Well, especially for Canada, the win against Qatar was their first ever victory at a World Cup.
Yeah, hold on. I know you're speaking, but don't take the camera off me when I'm drinking Smirnoff.
Wow.
A simple rule.
Alexis is currently, he's not just a podcast host. He's working for the ad sales team at Yahoo as well. He's doing his thing.
Make sure the logo's on. That is great.
No, but Canada in an interesting position where they seemingly maybe don't want to be in second in this group because it will obviously make that round of 32 a little bit more challenging. And the game against Bosnia and Herzegovina was they didn't. Not that they weren't prepared for the moment necessarily.
They didn't exude confidence.
Yeah, it's just like out of the three host nations, that was the one that was just like they're the most like wet behind the ears and not fully sort of ready. But I think the after the game against
Qatar, I know
Qatar,
that term, but it sounded racist when you said it, and I can't prove to you why. It just sounded like, were you saying that about the Mexican team?
No, I was not. Yeah.
So I get what you're saying. They still feel green. Yeah. They haven't had a match where they could say, this was Jesse Marsh's plan. This is it. Look at us putting it all together.
But what I will say is that I think as tragic and awful as the injury to Ismael Kone was, maybe that was that moment that galvanized the rest of the team to like really be like,
you wish that wouldn't happen.
Exactly.
Case,
exactly.
But here we are now.
But yeah, that's the position that they are put in. Yeah. And so we'll see how they do against Switzerland, because it's going to be, again, like a real, real test against a team that's going to possess the ball and want the ball and see if Canada can navigate that, as opposed to the other two games, which were not that at all. My next reaction, Uruguay, the country, your father's home nation.
Allegedly.
Uruguay will get grouped. I think they are going. Uruguay, they're playing against Spain. Obviously, they're in the same group as Cape Verde.
They need to beat Spain.
They need to beat Spain. And Spain also needs to win just in case, right? They want to make sure that they win the group. I don't think Uruguay has enough, and they've really been disappointing. They're on 2 points. I think they are out. I think they're going to be. I think Cape Verde is going to win against Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay is going to be left on 2 points. And if by a miracle they kind of get in through a third, the best eight third place, they might need a miracle. They might need other teams to do something. But my prediction is that they are going to be out of the World Cup. Uruguay, the 2-time World Cup champion,
the first ever champion.
That's right.
Yeah, beat Brazil in Brazil in 1950.
Okay, we were all
there. And unfortunately, because my father was born there, now they're cursed. Again, allegedly, we don't know. It could be anybody. It could be you watching right now, Dad. Let me give you my second reaction, which is I grew up without a father. My second reaction is that Mbappe will probably, not probably, Mbappe will win, will be the goal leader, the World Cup goal leader by the end of this tournament. I talked a little bit about it yesterday, but one, they're going to need to, in this next match, score a lot of goals just to keep up with Norway, who are absolutely bum-rushing the goals. They are looking good. Holland is looking good. The subs are all being impactful. They're putting it together. And obviously, their back line is their biggest weak point, so they're leaking goals, so they need to score more goals. So in order to keep up with that, France just has to continue being France. But the big magic trick that Mbappe has up his sleeve, we know his skill level. We know how confident he is. We know how much he says, give me the ball. I'll be the guy who scores goals. He gets all of that. He's also got Olise on his side. And that guy is having an incredible tournament after having an incredible club form in the past year. He's been great at Bayern. And I just think they're going to put it together. And I can't see any other team going as far. I don't think Norway is going to get to the final. I don't see Argentina getting to the final, even though Messi's playing out of his skin, and I think he's incredible, and he's proving to the world that 39 is the new 17, I guess, based on the peptides he's taken, allegedly. Let's get the Smirnoff Ice out of the show when I say that. right? Based on all that, I just think I don't know another team that's going to play as long, that's going to be in the competition as long. Harry Kane hasn't been doing it the way I thought he would, especially against Ghana. That was a bit of a rough patch. And all the guys that I thought were going to be in the lead for the Golden Boot aren't really banging in goals the way that Mbappe is, nor are they going to be last as long in the tournament. So unless Harry Kane turns it on, I can't really see anyone else. And I really don't think Norway is going to be able to survive a round of 16 or a quarterfinal with that back line. So for me, this is Mbappe. So he's going to beat Messi at some point in this tournament. He's going to go on to hold the record, which is going to be crazy for a 27 years old.
Yeah, it's interesting. The especially after we're going to talk about the England game in a bit, but like there's a lack of a, I don't know, clutch gene that England strikers seem to have that Mbappe.
Yeah.
Has
you didn't need to put the word striker in there. I think all of them.
All right, my last spicy prediction.
Let me drink a little Smirnoff Ice while you tell me.
I'm going to say that Lionel Messi will start in the final group game against Jordan.
Mm. That take is as refreshing as this Smirnoff Ice.
Plenty of reason not to obviously rest the GOAT and blah blah blah, but there's something to be said about what this man is doing, whether it is to continue to pursue that World Cup goal record and maybe lengthen the goal record so that Mbappe cannot catch up. I have a feeling that he knows it's his last World Cup. It's on his mind. He doesn't want to leave without saying like, oh man, I wish I would have try to keep that goal record for longer than 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So after taking over the goal record from Miroslav Klose, the German. So I think it's not even about like pettiness, but I think he's aware of his legacy. And I'm sure Adidas is like, yo, Messi, go for the record, man. It's going to help us out.
Hey, man, we're loving this.
We're a big fan of that.
Damn, who spilled all these peptides in your shoebox?
So, and Jordan, with all due respect, they already out of the tournament. And this game, not to say the game doesn't mean much, but they, you know, as far as moving on to the next round, that is not a possibility. And then for Lionel Messi, it's a little bit of like, oh boy,
here we go again.
I'm gonna have a good time with this. So I think he starts in the last game, and also an interesting thing with Lionel Messi is like, and we've seen it with Inter Miami, is he really does not want to miss game. He does not want to be benched. He does not want to be subbed out. I think even subbing him out, Scaloni subbing him out after his hat trick, he's still a little bit like, I mean, I could have gotten four. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he is that much of a diehard, like, just play. And there's also a part of him that is like, these people paid to come see me. I want to make sure that they get their show. They want to get their money's worth.
I think this is a major mistake to start him in the 30th.
You
game,
think? I understand that.
Yeah,
but I think
if you do, maybe you pull him in the 30th. Maybe get a goal quick and let's pull you in the 30th.
Okay.
I get your point, and I hope he does start for the fans. But if you are a Scaloni, put that dude on the bench. let me give you my third take, and this is my last one. I think England will qualify for the knockout rounds, but it's not going to be smooth.
Okay.
And they're not going to do it in their top form. I think we watched them against Ghana, and let me tell you something. This was a rough game to be an England fan. Nothing happened. Nothing of note besides you stole a game from Ghana because that should have been a penalty.
Right.
I don't understand how it wasn't. Look, at the end of the day, I think England are completely stacked with talent. I think Thomas Tuchel has proven to be the right choice, but it hasn't come together the way I expected. There's a listlessness about the way this team played against Ghana. And not to say that they should have beaten Ghana by 10 goals or whatever. Ghana was the team that needed to defend. They needed to stop you. You did nothing for them to stop you. I didn't see anyone take over the midfield. I didn't see anyone present themselves in a way where they were the ones that needed to be stopped, the way we've seen France and the way we've seen Norway do, the way that we've seen the US do. I haven't seen that from England. And this is yet another example of England having all the talent in the world, but not being able to put it together and sort of capitulating when it comes to a World Cup. I think they're going to get to the knockout rounds, and I think anything can happen from there. Maybe they find their form, and I'm kind of hoping they do because I like a lot of the players on that team. But to me, something needs to change. Maybe the midfield, maybe Eze starts. We can talk about that a little bit later. But for me, yes, you're going to qualify. You're going to get through. you're not going to have the most confident in the world. And maybe that's where England wants to be, because they just always believe we're worse than we really are.
Yeah,
everything's going to fail. Why try?
We had Tim Zeon recently, and you know, as somebody from England, you hear the lack of confidence in their voices. They're not
so afraid to say we're going to win it.
Yeah,
and that's why everyone's like, it's coming home. It's sarcastic.
Sure. Because but they're not even, I feel like they're not even saying it's coming home.
I haven't heard that.
Heard it at all, really.
Did you hear about the, you know, the Dublin, remember the bar we went to?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the Scottish fans drank them out of beer.
Yes.
Which is crazy. It's a huge bar in Boston. They put up signs. They took the day off for the England fans coming into town. They said there's nothing important happening in town anyway. So we gave all of our employees the day off because the Scottish fans were so good. They drank us out of beer.
That's hilarious.
So they purposely shut the doors so that the English fans can party there, which kind of lets you know how the world feels about England.
I want to give a shout out to John Strong. Did you hear what he said on the broadcast?
What
of the
did
game?
He say?
Really?
The audio was very low when I was watching it.
Just a genuine, solid roast joke. That was subtle, happened in the 40th second of the game. The game was obviously...
Oh, I remember. This is when he was like, yo, England, yo mama so fat.
Yeah, that's a common John Strong joke. Yeah, we know
that's
the
not how John Strong is in real life. It's about time the world knows
it. Because obviously England are playing in New England, in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And he made a comment basically saying, I don't remember the exact line, the wording, but he said, England have been known... not have a good time in Massachusetts. Just like, hey.
Little tea party joke.
Little tea party joke in a nice, clever, subtle way.
Hey, welcome back to Boston. I don't know if you know you took an L here. Maybe maybe take it easy. Huh? Okay.
You're lucky you left with a draw, to be honest. So shout out to John Strong. And shout out to everybody leaving comments. Let's go to the comments.
We did it for Christmas Addicts. I hope that's the name.
I have no idea.
Do you know that is?
I don't. I know the name. I don't remember
who it is. The first person to die.
Okay.
How does Christian, he gave you the super ethnic spelling. How does Christian use barbecue sauce with his soylent? Make it make sense.
That's how you know Ben is an OG.
Bro.
Ben has been with us for years, from my Soylent days.
If you don't remember, Christian used to say he hates food.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks it's a waste of time to cook, eat, and clean. So he just drank. Yeah, yeah, okay, this is important. He drank Soylent. Now, let me ask you a question. Take a sip of that Smirnoff Ice. Tell me how much better that is than Soylent.
It's quite much better. It's much better.
Go ahead, get that on camera. Why are you drinking like Trump, bro?
Because I'm trying to show. Because
you need two hands?
Look at this.
That's how refreshing it is.
The mouth opening of the bottle does not line
that
up.
That is my argument, right? Look at me. I have to show the nutrition facts. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to see that. I want to do this.
All right, Mike. Michael says, guys, I thought we 100% agreed as a team. We weren't going to switch places.
We're back, baby. Let me put that right there, actually, while we're doing this. We're back where we belong.
In our studio, we are reversed. And in the Yahoo studio, it is how I'm sorry.
It's actually like flying a flag half mast. Call somebody if we're switched places. Looks like that curse worked on Harry Kane. Hello, remember the guy?
Yeah.
Who said he was going to do it? And it worked last time, right?
Kane scored on the in the
no other. No, but they said England, he was putting a curse on England.
Okay,
you don't remember this?
I do remember that, but it was it specifically on Harry
Ricardo,
Kane?
Ricardo, you said that it worked last time, right? He gives me a thumbs up, unless other than telling me when it happened. He boos, but he won't tell me when it happened.
So,
you know what, Carter, you don't get a Smirnoff Ice. I'm just putting that out there right now.
It didn't look like the same, old against Ghana, but credit to Ghana. Because they really did look fantastic. They defended so well.
They did defend well, but England looked worse than they normally play. Ghana didn't look dramatically better than normally.
England
they're
had
always
nearly
good.
80% possession. They took 19 shots, 3 on target. Obviously, should be better. But
they did what with it?
They got a draw. They got nothing. They had nothing.
Bryce Jackson said England was playing kickabout and hoped that it would be enough to break Ghana. Then played with urgency with 10 minutes to go. The subs came in way too late.
Yeah. Yeah, I we're gonna get into more details again because
we'll talk about the
game. John Strong with the soccer dad jokes.
Bro,
yeah,
we stand John Strong, bro.
Okay, Colombia winning the World Cup. Let's go.
I don't know which Colombia you're watching.
All right. Oh, you got one more, I think. Yeah, man. Colombia, a 1-0 win. Good performance. I mean, Congo, again, Colombia did what England could not do against Ghana. They just break down an incredibly solid defense. So credit to Colombia.
Couple offside goals. I was like, they're gonna find a way.
Yeah, I mean, Luis Diaz got to figure something out.
England just can't win unless they got boats. And even then, they don't win on the soil. That's the problem, brother. In America, they took an L here.
It's too much PTSD when they're out here. Yeah. All right. All right. We'll be back with more right after this, everybody.
All right. Welcome back to the Cooligans, baby. Listen, we've talked about some of these other countries enough. We don't really care. We're Americans. Okay.
All right. The thoughts of Alexis Guerrero's do not represent the Cooligans as a whole.
I'm actually reading. I'm reading directly from your dialogue here that you wrote.
Okay, interesting.
Why don't we talk about I didn't say this, but it's written on our rundown as a glorified friendly against Turkey.
I mean, it's not that crazy of a statement.
I don't think it's a glorified friendly because I think the match counts, but I don't think we're going to see very many starters. And to me, that's kind of the way I would prefer it to be.
Well, we actually have our preferred 11s for this game. Crazy, huh?
Wow. As if we did homework.
You want to go? You want to show Alexis's first?
Yeah, let's get mine up there.
And we'll go over to see. And everybody watching on YouTube, please let us know what you think or what you think what the preferred 11 really should be.
What do you notice first?
I see Zendejas is probably the thing I noticed first for you. So this
really?
I'm
surprised you didn't notice Roldan first, buddy.
Oh, no, I didn't.
There's no starters in this. Okay. I think Mauricio Pochettino might have led with this a little bit when he said, there's no charity here. If you got on the squad, you're good enough to start, which is a signal to me that we're going to see a lot of starters. In particular, he said probably the players that are on yellow card accumulation, which it resets after this game anyway, so I'm not really sure why that is, but I guess just so that they're not affected during the game. But look at this. Tim Weah, I was just trying to figure out a way to get him on the pitch. I do believe he plays best on the right-hand side, so I could see maybe Zendejas starting up top with Pepe and Weah on the right, Reyna on the left a little bit.
Okay.
In a 4-2-2-2, maybe. But for me, I wanted to do a 4-2-3-1. Berhalter, Roldan. Trusty, I want to see. Arfstead, I want to see. McKenzie, I want to see. Scally, I want to see. Matt Freeze, I think, is the only starter that stays in because he hasn't really faced a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be man, go out there, do your best. We're not really thinking about it. Just don't make any mistakes. And then I also want to see Ricardo Pepi and then swap him with Haji Wright, maybe in the 55th minute to give these guys a little bit more of a run in because everyone that's here at some point is going to have to give us something.
I agree. Yeah. And everybody has the potential to give us something, especially if there's an injury anywhere and stuff like that. I don't mind it. Let's pull up my preferred 11 because maybe it'll stand out. But for me, the only starter I'm keeping is Weston McKennie. Because I think
Freeze as well.
Yeah, that's right. And Freeze, at least on the field player. But McKennie, I sort of just picked him because there should be some level of familiarity, cohesion, leadership to continue bringing on from game to game. And I think it would be helpful to have him. But everywhere else, effectively, I think have fun. Have fun with it. Put the players under maybe a different kind of pressure.
Not Pepe, though, huh?
Not Pepe because Pepe, I think, has shown enough, and there's not anything else I need to see from Ricardo Pepe. I think he's
And he's not listed in your reserves, but he didn't get kicked off the team.
Hey, I kept him on there.
Send him home. We don't need it.
In the back line, Trusty, McKenzie, and Robinson, I think, could fill in those roles comfortably.
Aaronson and Zendejas was a bit of a toss-up for me. I think Aaronson could very easily come in. The reason I like Zendejas is he's used to the mud a little bit. You know what I mean? He plays the Liga Mekis, which can get mired in physical action, think Zendejas is used to that.
Brendan Aaronson has been a dog at least.
He's been fantastic. But he's more of an engine guy in my head, whereas Zendejas, I'm like...
But he's been causing problems at least. I mean, the last few months,
He's been great.
He's been great.
That's why he made it on the squad.
Because, honestly, I think Zendejas is for the game situations that we're probably going to be in, he's probably the better choice. But almost as a, like, I feel like if we have a lead, Zendejas is more likely to come in. But I just want to see Brendan Anderson just to see what he kind of has. And
I agree. It was a toss-up for me, so I'd be happy with him replacing.
Sure.
And I want to make a note that even though mine had four at the back, Arfston ventures forward, and it reverts to a three center back, if you will, with Joe Scally sort of playing the right-sided center back and Austin Trusty playing the left-sided center back. But I could see Tabarin getting a break. I could see some of the folks getting a break, but not a complete wipe over like what you and I have shown.
There is some debate about Matt Freeze. Is there any apprehension about having him play in a game that is effectively kind of meaningless? But
what would be the apprehension?
Meaning like a concern about injury. Give somebody else an opportunity, right? Like, is there?
I mean, how rare is it for goalkeepers to get it? You know what I mean? I don't think of goalkeepers as like in the mix other than in corners and stuff like that. And you should be able to kind of handle yourself.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it could be cool for Matt Turner to have an opportunity. But does that affect Freeze's confidence?
That's the point I was going to make. If there's any doubt that Freeze is the guy in Mauricio Pochettino's mind, then we'll see Matt Turner start here to say, okay, go ahead, show me what you got in 90 minutes. I think Matt Freeze is going to need an opportunity to get shots sent his way. Couple of saves, couple get in the mix a bit more than what we've seen him in the first two matches. And I think that's why Matt Freeze stays in. That's at least why I kept him in. Why'd you keep him in instead?
He even in these two games, he has not had to make the diving incredible save. Like, he just hadn't even been put in that position.
Right.
And by the way,
I hope he does it through the whole tournament and we win the World Cup. But that's probably not going to happen, right?
Well, I mean, just
he's going to get shots.
Right. So, but
you know what? You're right. I should take a sip.
but just to get his legs under him, just to be like, okay, yeah, I can still make that diving save, and that's it. Obviously, and he'll still have do the fundamentals, cut off crosses, jump, you know, fight for the ball, all that other stuff. But just Tuke provides attacking players that will just make him think a little bit, and maybe he might make a mistake or two. But this is the game where he can, right?
I also feel like Tuke is going to take a lot of shots from outside the box. I feel like they're going to be taking opportunities, and with the way this ball moves,
and they haven't scored in this tournament yet.
Yeah.
So I'm sure
that Arda Güler is too busy kicking rocks and being upset and looking like looking like me waiting for my dad to send me a birthday card.
Okay. Jesus Christ. I don't know if it's almost like you understand the support he needs and you're like, no, I didn't get it. So you're not getting it either.
Yeah, none of you are getting it.
Everybody's going to be miserable.
I got an idea. Leave Mateo outside for a week. Just see what happens.
Right. Interesting parenting strategy.
No bad ideas here.
But how about, okay, we talk about Freeze, but what about Christian Pulisic? He's only played 45 minutes.
I'm answering your question. No.
At the World Cup.
Put in the comments how bad you don't want Christian Pulisic to get a run out here.
Even just a 15 minute.
Here's the only way is if the medical team decides that there would be some benefit to him getting a run out for 20 minutes at the end of this match to test to see how his calf is handling it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like you might be able to do that in training. So why chance it? Give him the extra break. He's going to be so much more essential for our run in the knockout rounds if we're going to have a long one that I don't need any opportunity to chance in. He might be wanting to play. And if you asked him, he'd say, let me play all 90. But what does the medical team think? What does Mauricio Pochettino think? For me, there's no reason to start this, man. You're having a great tournament. Everybody knows it. Everybody hears it.
He's only played 45 minutes.
For those 45 minutes, he had a great first half. So far, like, there's no negative.
No, I get it. I get that.
Everything's good. Why mess this up?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a little worried about
that would be like taking away our Smirnoff Ice, and that is just a bad idea.
Okay.
It's right here. It tastes so good.
How dare you do that? I'm leaning more towards not playing him, but part of me does think like, to test, but also to not be too rusty. Training is cool and all, but it's not the same as actual in-game minutes.
You know how like sometimes when a player comes back from a long injury, not that this is, but sometimes when they come back, as an example, you see them play a few minutes with the reserves. They get 30, they get 60, then they get 70 or whatever. Sure. Maybe there's something to be said about sort of escalating the amount of in-game minutes he's getting, and maybe you could use this as a test. Maybe you bring him in for the first 30, maybe the first 45. Maybe you bring him in for the second 30. I don't know. What I'm simply trying to say is, if we can, and if it doesn't, I mean, he's played long enough now where I don't think he needs to sort of get in game mode. He's had an entire club season as well. Rest him as long as you possibly can.
That's fair. Expectations for this game. What? I mean, I'm a fan of. Just on paper, it would just look great. 9 points, 3 out of 3 wins.
First time ever in our history.
Yeah, man, yeah. It would be just a great storyline. It's not the most important chapter in the story, but it would just look great going forward. And the way people talk about the right. men's national team going forward.
Can I tell you what my fear is, though?
Yes, you can.
What you're saying reminds me
I'm your therapist, but okay, tell me anything. Well,
first of all, hold my hand. I don't know why you don't do it unless we're on the road. Whenever the cameras run. The way you're talking reminds me a lot of MLS clubs that are already qualified for the playoffs, but they're like, I want that supporter shield. And what typically happens to those teams once they get into the playoffs? They run out of gas because they spent a lot of energy trying to get that supporter shield. Right. For those of you who don't watch MLS and don't understand what I'm talking about, it sounds great. I want those 9 points. I want that third win. I want to put all your chips. But if that's what costs you just a little bit of energy or a little bit of for maybe a slight knock or an injury into the knockout rounds, which are much more important, save it for the playoffs.
Yeah.
For the knockout round.
Yeah. I think going into the round of 32, part of me, like I said, if he does play, I think it sets it kind of in stone that he will start in that round of 32 game. That's it. Yeah. And depending on who we play, I think once it comes to the knockout rounds, Pulisic should be starting. And if he is healthy, he should be starting. I think and then more than anything with the game against Turkey, I think
you mean beyond this third game, not starting in this game.
No, not starting in this game. Once gotcha. The knockout round starts. So but give him 10 minutes, just 10-15 minutes just to see kind of like where he's at. Like, I'd be comfortable with that. If he comes into the game, I'm not going to be disappointed that like, oh, Pochettino's not prioritizing these knockout rounds and his health and stuff.
I'll agree with you in one way and one way only. And let us know in the comments what you think, if you think Pochettino should sort of chance it with Pulisic. But I don't mind if he comes in for 15 minutes, unless he doesn't walk off the pitch. If he walks off the pitch with a limp, or if he goes right to the physio, or if he starts grabbing at his calf, then I'm going to say this wasn't worth it. And potentially you could ruin a deep run.
That is true. It is true. So but you have to ask yourself, depending on who we play, can the team get through without Pulisic? And
if we get Bosnia first, we don't need.
What if we don't? Yeah, I agree.
We don't need Pulisic, but why chance it? I want the best 11 to play every one of those knockout round games. Everyone. I don't want to look at any of these nations and think, we don't need this play. Doesn't matter. Put them in there. Score as many goals as you can. Body every team in front of you if you can.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm fearful of is getting to the round of 32 and Pochettino doesn't start Pulisic. I would just be like,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I hope that doesn't happen. That would just be.
You know what I'm more fearful of? We get to the round of 32 and Pochettino starts Roldan. I'd be like, what am I doing? Okay, no offense.
Man, my man knows he can recognize the perfect footballer when he sees
he did call him the bird. I'm so nervous.
Okay. So in other USMNT news that we got to make sure we cover, because this has been talked about quite a bit. Falarin Balogun has been coming up quite a bit. Because he is, David Ornstein had tweeted, Falarin Balogun expected to leave Monaco this summer, contract to 2028, but no talks over new deal, and the striker favors a move. Interest from
One Premier League team that is showing the most interest?
I sure do.
Yeah.
I sure do, and I'm quite excited about it, but interest from the Premier League and across Europe, building amid FIFA World Cup form. My man, and they're Monaco are looking for 50 million.
Euros, which is not a big deal. That's what, 35 million pounds?
I mean, I would love 50 million euros, and I think it is a big deal if somebody's going
to
be
No, meaning like it's not
it's not an insane amount of money.
Yeah. So, with the numbers being thrown out for... nines.
Ultimately, I think, yeah, so one of the teams that are interested.
The main Premier League team.
And I hope it works out. The one and only James Rodriguez's former club, Everton Football Club, have shown some interest. And Monaco seemed to be open to selling to Everton. And I don't know exactly how interested Balogun is interested in going to Everton. But I know he wants to. I think he'd love to play in the Premier League. And for a team that could definitely use a striker. Mm-hmm. And I think that his style suits the team. And also, we're seeing it at the World Cup. Him playing not necessarily so centrally. He's playing on the left, which his two runs on the left side had led to the two own goals. And so he's been fantastic. And look, it just took these two games for the stock to everybody's like, yo, whoa, hold on, who's this guy?
But the question becomes. Obviously, Everton would be a great place, and I think it would be an upgrade over Beto and Dominic Calvert-Lewin if he's still there.
No, Dominic. Yeah, he's at Tino Barry.
Yeah, Tino Barry. That's it.
Yeah.
But where should he go? Where do you think is the best club for Folair and Balogun to land at?
So, my honest opinion, especially seeing all the news about Julian Alvarez possibly going to Barcelona, I think Balogun would be a fantastic replacement for Robert Lewandowski at Barcelona. Could they find, I don't know, the money issues at Barcelona are kind of crazy, but I think he would be a good, I think he would be a good fit.
You're seeing mine there. AC Milan, I think, would be a slightly better fit for where he is right now. I think, look, if you get any American player can get on Barcelona, Sergiño Dest was there not too long ago. Mm-hmm. I think you take that. For me, I think it's what's important is take a look at where he is in his career, right? Monaco to Barcelona is a massive jump, and I'm not saying he can't make that jump, but I would love to see him get one more step up into a league that's maybe a little bit more competitive, maybe a little bit more technical, maybe a little bit more physical before I start to test him at the highest levels like a Barcelona or maybe even in the Premier League. And that's why I think AC Milan plus clearly plays well with Christian Pulisic. Christian Pulisic is at AC Milan for now. AC Milan very clearly are owned by an American PE firm, maybe, or one of these, is it Redbird? I forget the name of it.
I don't know who they're owned by.
AC Milan's owned by Americans. They're clearly trying to promote AC Milan to American fans.
I mean,
what's smarter than to bring in both Gio Reyna and Folair and Balogun? Did I throw Gio Reyna in there?
The pushback I would give is that they also spent a good amount of money on Santi Jimenez last year.
Well, the conversation is that that experiment might possibly be over.
Right,
so.
Yeah, he has been injured. I don't know what this, situation is with him, but I wouldn't be mad at that, but he's going from Monaco to AC Milan, then he would going from Champions League to Europa League.
That's the only issue is that Monaco is still in
so I not that it's like above the club is like above him or anything like that or beneath him, but I think he wants Champions League football because what he's done at Monaco and what he did this Champions League season, scoring against PSG, scoring in huge games. Big goals, just like under a lot of pressure from defenders, and he really didn't seem like he struggled that much. If he was on a better team, Monaco probably would get a little bit further. But Monaco also is initially when he went there, I'm like, oh, is this the right sort of like staying in Ligue 1? Is this the right
move
for him?
Great offensively,
but they're all great offensively, but they're like a perfect like stepping stone club of like and so many
they're
great
the French Dortmund.
Yeah, well put. Okay. Okay. Dortmund hates that.
Yeah, but Dortmund's like, what do you mean? They're like Dortmund with seasoning.
Why are we catching strays?
Real quick, I know it's not even on the thing, but New York City FC allegedly going in the mix for Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, we've been seeing some of those rumors.
Would be insane if that were to happen.
our producer's very mad at that possibility.
Yeah,
saying Christian Pulisic is
too. You know who's not? How much I can sell my season tickets for.
Let us know in the comments. Let us know in the comments how you feel about
that. Would
that.
Be wild. Does Alexis hate hot dogs?
Oh, why is he
because I hate dogs.
No, hot dogs get a pass.
That's the only one. Ingrid said, you don't have to put a leash
Alexis talking about just... Talking, Alexis talking about just talking about USMNT, yet where's the German jersey?
Again, this is for fashion.
Okay. Michael Raymond. So it's basically an MLS all-star team.
Both of our proposed 11s. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Each of those guys. Doesn't Roldan have a knock? Does he?
I don't think so. Oh, he does?
All right. Well, then you're not starting.
Not doing what? What were you doing? You knocked your toe on
On your way to get pizza? I thought Christians was just going to be all rolled on. That is on the internet. All 11 rolled on.
Well, yeah. We all need a
McKinney
team
can't even get a sub. Damn. Yeah, I mean, trust me, they'll be on there.
Okay.
Yeah, Arston and Miles might be giving the Turks a goal each. All right, relax.
Hold on, bro. Yo, also, Max Arston, he did pretty well at the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, they did get to the final of the Gold Cup. And then also, we get to see him take corners again. Mm-hmm. Max Arston is an absolute beast with corners. Ben Corrigan's, I've been hard at work. With my quill.
Yeah, this was a reference to a joke we made yesterday that I do not remember.
Okay. Türkiye more like chicken. Cooking them, bro.
Damn, son.
Covering the Ornstein files. That's right. What island does he work from?
Damn. Which one got the best internet?
Man.
Thank you for all the comments.
Yeah, shout out to everybody watching on YouTube and across on the Yahoo channels, Yahoo Sports Network. We appreciate y'all. We got a lot more show, a lot more comments, so keep leaving them in the chat.
Yeah, get back here, quick.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Hit the bell during the break, dude.
Okay, Michael, we're starting with this comment. AC Milan, you remember who's going to be the coach, right? Or possibly Pochettino. I was.
There's a reason why I brought that
one
up.
Of the rumors, yeah. And
I think they actually hired somebody. Ruben Amorim. Yeah.
Okay. So, Micah says, Flo, go to Bayern. He's replacing Harry Kane.
Harry Kane ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, why would he leave?
Is there a rumor that he's going to the Premier League?
Going back? I mean, I don't think he's done at Bayern.
What is he, like 11 goals away from the record?
Right. What record?
The most goals in Premier League history. Isn't he like...
Oh, in Premier... I did hear that he might want to go back to that. Yeah, that's interesting. I think he, as far as if he does go to Premier League, it wouldn't be Tottenham because he wants to play Champions League.
No, the rumor is Everton.
Okay, so he wants to win Champions League. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Let's go to
Portugal, huh?
Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo. The Guinness World Record, they tweeted this, says most FIFA World Cups scored in by a player. 6 by Cristiano Ronaldo. Hit him with the suey.
Yeah. by the way, not hard to do if you run into the path of another player who's about to score a goal.
No. Look, but credit to Cristiano. He breaks his World Cup goal scoring drought in this game. He gets a brace and he plays the full game against Uzbekistan. After the camera goes to him, he's like, I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
He hit him with the I'm back.
I am not making this up. One of the defenders he scored against is actually a plumber. That is true.
Okay. Look, we all have hobbies. Yeah.
That is what he does for a living.
Hey, side hustles.
Hey,
all right?
We found your level, bro. I'm not a Cristiano Ronaldo hater. Congratulations. Scoring in 6 World Cups is very impressive. You're not facing Uzbekistan in the round of 32, in the round of 16, in the quarters. You're just not. So, yeah, I mean, hold on to that. And that's incredible, right? And yes, I think both are GOATs. And I think both will go down as two of the greatest in history. I happen to place Messi just above him because, again, you know, his talent is magical. It's not necessarily just, you know, he really cares and eats no carbs and all of that. So congratulations, Cristiano Ronaldo. But again, I'm not trying to throw, you know, any asterisks on it, but you did score against the plumber. So maybe I am throwing a little asterisk.
No asterisk. He's not throwing an asterisk. Just a wrench.
Easy. He needs those tools. Don't throw them.
But no, good for him. I just... The annoying thing, as soon as he scored his first goal, I'm like, okay, the most annoying people on the internet are going to be the loudest about this. Shout out to you, Matty FC.
Yeah.
They're super loud about this. And I understand the sometimes the Messi agenda and the Messi propaganda feels like, you know, overdone and sort of outshines Ronaldo. I would even say credit to Cristiano Ronaldo in the post-match interview. Somebody asked him about, like, oh, you know.
You're giving him credit for this?
I'm just going to say the fact that somebody asked him about Lionel Messi and Erling Haaland and everything that they have been scoring. And he was like, I don't even want to talk about this. And he just moved on because it's boring.
You didn't see the other one where the guy asked him, like, you scored two goals. Lionel Messi has scored five. And he turned and he goes, you go.
I did see that.
He goes, yeah. So why are we giving him credit for?
I'm just saying because he's bored of the conversation. He's sometimes the comparison at every waking moment, I'm sure, gets a little bit annoying for Messi and for Cristiano Ronaldo. It doesn't even necessarily need to be entertained every single time. And because we were even criticizing him, yeah. Like he should be on the bench and all this other stuff.
No, I still think that. I think Uzbekistan was the right right level for him to play. And also he kind of brings it upon himself. This constant comparison and all of that. This is his own doing. The real question is, though, does he kick on from here, right? Like, does this turn around his World Cup and suddenly becomes a goal machine in the first round of 32 and in the round of 16 and so on, however far you think Portugal can get?
I don't think anything changes that much. The game against Colombia is going to be, if he has a good game against Colombia, and I said this when we were, I think, making some either predictions or I forgot what we were doing. But I said, like, if about a key player of the game, I think if Ronaldo has a good game, this could obviously be supportive and help and propel Portugal for the rest of the tournament. But honestly, he played the full 90. I also did not like, there were moments that he missed some chances or didn't link up well with his teammates. And there was a moment, this happens a lot. And where, like, Bruno Fernandes or Jean Neves or different players would be like, let the ball go, though. Pass me the ball. And Ronaldo was like, oh, I didn't see you. I didn't see you. And for him to be the GOAT,
yeah,
and his teammates, like, be mad at him, being like, yo, you let the ball go or dummy the ball. Or why didn't you pass it to me? It's not giving GOAT. You know what I mean?
It's also not giving teammate.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So even though he did score the two goals and I'm sure his teammates are happy, I it doesn't necessarily heal all the kind of what seems to be a little bit of resentment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So good on him. I'm sure the Ronaldo stands are happy, but I don't necessarily think this is like fixes all the problems for Portugal, because that game against Colombia is going to be legit.
It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
Can't wait to see what you post, Matty FC. let's talk a little bit about England Ghana, because we mentioned it up top a little bit. We spoke about it in our hot takes. I don't know, man. I walked away from this being like the same old England again. You know, like, how are we not at a point where we're seeing a more solidified, you know, the turn that France took two World Cups ago,
yeah,
and now they seem to be constantly at that level. How has England not done that yet?
It's hard to kind of like figure out in a simple way to package. I mean,
what a horrific stat, by the way.
Yeah,
England versus Ghana is the first match of the 2026 World Cup to not have a single shot on target in the first half. Ugh. And it felt very much like that.
I mean, it's interesting because if you compare, and it's like crazy that I'm even doing this comparison, but if you compare England to the U.S. And England and the U.S. playing against very heavy defensive teams in Paraguay and Australia, and Ghana's kind of set. I mean, they have way better attacking talent. That just like so, they're clearly a much bigger threat, like, going forward.
Right.
But you do know that they are going to defend, and this is why the credit to a team. I would even say Colombia as well, of like finding ways to break down teams that are going to defend quite a bit.
And that's a big task for this entire World Cup.
Whatever reason, on paper, you look at the attacking talent for England and you would imagine at least one or two of these guys can figure something out.
Yeah, but I mean, Thomas Tuchel was getting so much credit for, you know, sort of bypassing the midfield, bringing the ball up a little bit then, but going over to use that to start to stretch the other teams. The same way a boxer would use, you know, sort of a left-handed jab to set up a right-handed hook. And Thomas Tuchel's getting all this credit. And then against Ghana, it doesn't work. And what we found out is that there is no plan B. Mauricio Pochettino, not to compare the two, we've started to see his plan B. We've started to see other ways that the team can play. Thomas Tuchel was like, well, this ain't working. I don't know what to do. You got a lot of talent. And this is where maybe a Trent Alexander-Arnold or something, you know, would have been great. I guess the question becomes, like, what change would you make on this England team to suddenly make them play a little bit better or to get them out of this little bit of rut that we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I liked the subs, and I wish they would have come in a little bit sooner. I don't think you need why am I forgetting his name? The midfielder that plays to the right of
Anderson.
Anderson. I think is it Anderson or Anderson? Please confirm.
It's Anderson. Anderson. Yeah,
okay,
Anderson.
I don't know why I thought that. Anyway, I don't.
Gordon Anderson. Yeah, I remember him.
I don't think you need him. I would probably go with a more of an attacking midfielder mm-hmm. instead of two defensive midfielders.
I'm surprised you're not replacing Gordon.
I would, yeah. That's also one of them. Okay. I put Rashford in there. I think his experience would be more helpful in trying to break down these teams that are going to defend quite a bit. So
I think Rashford gives you that ability to get past the back line. You know, obviously his pace, his run is he makes smart runs, but also he's so lethal 1v1 versus the keeper. So I can see that more than replacing someone in the midfield. For me, I think it's Eze's got to start at the 10.
Instead of Bellingham.
Yeah. I mean, what Bellingham is a great player, and this is not taking anything away from Jude Bellingham, but what we see about maybe this is just me as an Arsenal fan, having seen Eze now play a lot more, there's a sense of calm he brings when he's on the ball. And I think England can use that, especially in the middle of the field or in the middle of the pitch. Eze presents to me someone who loves to play centrally, knows how to find the right spaces. None of these things are things Jude Bellingham cannot do, by the way. I'm not simply suggesting that he is an upgrade over Jude Bellingham. What I am suggesting is that little extra bit of creativity. It's not just finding yourself at the right spot at the right time, which I think Jude Bellingham does almost better than anyone else in that squad. That little bit of creativity could really set a late run from a, you know, Harry Kane coming back from standing next to the center backs, checking for the ball like he's been doing at Bayern and he does with the English national team. But that late run that he's doing, Eze has the ability to spin it out wide, maybe get it to a Rashford if Rashford is playing, if both of our decisions are met, mm-hmm. or if it's a Madueke or if Saka is healthy to start, or get it to Harry Kane. And he's also really good at defending, at attacking a low block because he's done it so much with Arsenal. So for me, Eze just seems like probably the right player to give a run out. And again, maybe Bellingham plays in a different position and stays on the pitch. But for me, let Eze get a run out.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Tuchel is just playing fairly conservatively, defensively, just making sure they mm-hmm. don't concede. I think the two goals they conceded against Croatia are like in his mind. And I guess it's an improvement, at least defensively. Rashford, I don't know where Saka is per se, but yeah, I would just go for it. And I just feel like Tuchel is not going for the actual win, and he's just like trying to be a little too cautious. Right. Okay.
We only have like a minute left, but let's do it real quick. Let's talk about Group C, because obviously Brazil, Morocco, Scotland, and Haiti.
Yeah.
4-4-3-0 are the points there. Scotland with 3 points can do this. They can get in the top two with a win. Mm-hmm. It's just they're playing Brazil. So how bad are Brazil? Are they bad enough that Scotland can easily beat them, or is this going to be a tough one for Scotland?
It's going to be a tough one for Scotland. But more than anything, I don't think Scotland is going to get like blown out or anything like that. But if can they get a draw? I mean, they just need a draw.
Yeah.
Realistically, they just need a draw.
If they can do it, man. I need to see these fans travel all over this country. They're having such a
Scotland, and even if they lose, they still have an opportunity.
Being one of the best third places. But actually, they are listed. Right?
A result in Brazil here would be tremendous. Because
Scotland is in second place as the best third place.
There might be a possibility that teams on 2 points can get through into the next round. So the bar is not set too high. Yeah. All right. We don't have too much time left, but everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to another daily episode of the Cooligans Without the World Cup. We're going to be here every day. Shout out to Scotland, all the fans taking over Miami.
They've absolutely been killing it. They've crushed it in Boston. They're crushing it in Miami. They're dancing in the streets. I absolutely love it.
And we're going to crush it in Kansas City.
And we're going to be dancing in the streets. So come hang out with us.
All right. We'll see you there. Hit like, subscribe. Peace, everybody. Take care.
Love you guys.
Love you.